These 3 days are a celebration of paradoxes. And Jesus often spoke of this paradox. Death is life. The only way to gain yourself is to lose yourself. The only way to become first is to choose to be last. And on with various phrases, Jesus speaks this paradox of Christian life. But it's really the paradox of all of history, of all of creation. In fact, it's the paradox that's in the Trinity before the world began. And that paradox is that life and love come from death. And each of those three persons in the Trinity has forever been dying, giving himself completely to the other two and receiving that back from the other two in this dance of love. And so it's the pattern of all existence. Everything comes from God. All of creation emanates out from God, from the spoken word of the Son. And so there is a reflection of that paradox in all of creation. And when you think of the billions of years of violent explosions and speeding planets and stars and you know, just an immense amount of failure there, and yet God can bring something out of nothing. God can bring beauty out of tragedy. And so we recognize that even in our own existence, sometimes our biggest failures turned out to be our biggest blessings. Sometimes our biggest losses turned out to be our biggest gains. St. Paul points out over and over again in his writings that he had it wrong, that he made a mistake in persecuting Christians. And it was precisely in that mistake that God was able to save him. It was precisely in his ineptitude that Paul became one of Jesus' greatest disciples. It's precisely in Jesus bumbling and putting his foot in his mouth and saying the wrong things that he becomes the leader of the church. And our sins can actually bring about a healing that only God can bring, but it's something more than we could ever accomplish on our own with our own intentionality. In the Exultet, that hymn to the Easter candle that we're going to sing on tomorrow night, there's a strange line that always made me wonder. Oh, happy fault, oh, necessary sin of Adam, that brought for us such a Redeemer. And I think that that's the paradox that's being spoken of there in that hymn. That, you know, while Adam and Eve's sin was a tragedy and a great loss to humanity, it was also the thing that brought about the Paschal Mystery. The Paschal Mystery, the dying and rising pattern of all reality, I mean, in a sense, it existed since the Big Bang. But Christ reveals it in his death and resurrection. He reveals the truth of it. And we just a few minutes ago heard Pilate say to Jesus, "What is truth?" Well, since God is truth and it's infinite, we're never going to be able to completely describe it. But these 3 days hint at least one meaning for truth. And that is this paradox, that the only way to get to life is to pass through death. The only way to get over our tragedies is not to deny them and push them down and pretend that they didn't happen, but to face into them and to own them. The only way to be forgiven for sin is to first own your sin. The only way to be truly loved by other people is to own your own identity and be who you are and stop pretending and trying to fashion something false. Just be who you are. And the great tragedy of Jesus' death and resurrection is it comes from his being misunderstood and unappreciated. And he who was truth in person was put to death for a falsehood, for a lie. And so if we put ourselves out there, if we make ourselves vulnerable and real, then we're going to discover the only place where God dwells, and it's in the redeemed tragedy of existence. It's in the rectifying of the wrong. It's in the raising of the fallen. And that's us. We own our fallen stature. We own the fact that we have sinned. We own the fact that we're weak and imperfect and that we need someone else to redeem us. And that's what we're doing here today. We're honoring that strange paradox of Christian life, that if we are willing to take upon ourselves this cross, not just to admire Jesus and thank Jesus for what he did, but to immerse ourselves in that mystery. And so in a few minutes, we're going to adore the cross. And some people are going to touch it. Some people might kiss it. Some people might bow or genuflect. There are various ways. Whatever appeals to you at that instant, that's what you do. But it's going to be a bare cross. It's not going to have a corpus on it like this one here. It's a bare cross because it's our own. We're making the cross of Jesus our own. We're putting ourselves spiritually on that cross and taking it up and following him. There's also a collection today, and that collection is for the holy places in the Holy Land. The Christian people have had churches in Palestine for centuries and centuries, and some of it were built by the Crusaders, others in more recent times. The Christian population in Israel was about 40% in 1947 when the Israeli state was put together. Now, I think it's less than 3%. Palestine has become a difficult place for Christians to live, and yet they maintain those holy places so people like us can go over and experience those shrines and experience the chance to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And of course, it takes money to do that. And so there's a worldwide collection on Good Friday for that purpose.